irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight. We have a very special guest, Robert Storr. He's been with us before and we're really excited about having him with us here tonight. Dr. Allen, how are you tonight? Are you ready for our special guest? Dr. Allen, are you there? Okay, it looks like I've lost Dr. Allen, but that's okay, because I know
Good
Sam.
This is Robert.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing?
Very good. Welcome to the show. We're waiting to get Dr. Allen back. She looks like we somehow lost her, but I'm sure Sam at the switchboard is working on getting her back with us.
Okay, great.
So, how Robert... I am doing really good. I'm doing good. But I just recently read an article and I really wanted your input on it. I wanted to know what you're seeing out there in the world with our vets since the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm happy to share. There's a lot of different things.
Dr. Pat Allen's voicemail.
Still trying to hang out. There's a lot of things that are contributing to. There she is.
There she is. Welcome back.
I thought you were on the phone with me.
No, he's on the phone with us here on the air at LA Talk Radio. Robert was just talking about what he's seeing with regard to the veterans after the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Sure, So with Dr. Allen, what she's referring to is with the recent withdrawal, there was a lot of chaos as the U.S. exited Afghanistan, and it brought some people memories of the way we withdrew from South Vietnam, the scenes of civilians clutching to get out of there in a hurry, a lack of organization and a lack of ability to really take care of people. What immediately occurred is a lot of veterans did get distressed. A lot of veterans thought after their sacrifice overseas to sort of help the Afghani people maintain their independence from the Taliban, they sort of were disillusioned because it turned right back into the Taliban. Did what I do? Did I lose a leg? Did I lose a buddy, a life, a friend for nothing? And a lot of veterans also sprung into action for the civilians that were left behind because what happens, and I know several veterans who do this, one in fact started a nonprofit, that those Afghanis that worked with the U.S. troops, whether they were translators or somehow involved, often are in danger. So there was an operation, a mobilization, to see if they could help some of those people get out of the country to safety. It has died down a little bit since then. There has not been as much, but the immediate reaction stressed both the veterans that had served in that war and other veterans because they're taught and dedicated to, of course, doing the right thing. And when it was undone so quickly, it was painful for them. And their stress, you know, there's already stress in a veteran who's transitioning. So we made an extra effort to make statements about it, to reach out to the veterans that are in our residential facilities, to hold town halls, to let them talk freely about their feelings, and to sort of get an audience. As you know, in psychotherapy, it's so important to create a space that people can have in terms of a non-judgmental opportunity to share the distress they're under without having it corrected or minimized or, not handled properly. So those were some of the things we had done to respond to that issue.
Thank you so much for speaking to that. Dr. Allen, do you have some questions for Robert?
Well, we're talking about suicidal ideation tonight, I think.
Yes, right? We are.
And yes. Robert, how long have we known each other?
Oh, Dr. Pat Allen, you have been my mentor, my friend. What was the most important person probably in the development of my life? Over 30 years.
Came to me as an intern studying to be a licensed marriage family therapist. Is that right?
Yes, it's what I always call a God move, when the universe mysteriously lines things up where you're supposed to be and you have no idea where you're going until the results are in.
So would you please tell me and the audience, how did you get into suicide? What triggered you into that?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Dr. Allen. What happened, which was really difficult and traumatic, was I lost a partner to suicide who clearly was in distress and indicating that he was in trouble. But at the time, I had no indication, because even as a trained therapist, we aren't taught much, or we weren't back when I was being trained in school, about the signs of someone who is suicidal, how they may give you warning signs that they're in imminent danger. They may do things that indicate they're in trouble. What that did, well, of course, it was traumatic, because anytime you experience grief with a traumatic death, it becomes the possibility of what we call prolonged grief, and it becomes a more difficult process to deal with over a period of extending anywhere from 4 to 5 to 10 to 15 years, where its impacting can lead to greater things like depression and anxiety. What I chose to do 2 years after his death was to, I made a very distinct decision that I was going to go find out everything I could about suicide prevention, and I contacted the Suicide Prevention Center in Los Angeles, which is, I think, the second largest suicide prevention center, covering an area of over 11 million people. And I made a point that I wanted to be there, and I became their clinical director. And then shortly after that, I was promoted to the director of the center. And I did, in fact, fulfill my desire, and I learned everything I could learn, including the risk factors, the warning factors. And when I looked back at the death of my partner, what I recognized was he gave me the indications he wanted to leave the planet, that he was ready to die. However, because of the stigma and the shame, people who are suicidal don't tell you up front. Sometimes they may, but they don't tell you, I'm going to kill myself. They may say things like, I don't belong here. I don't no longer feel like I can go on. My life has no meaning or purpose, or I'm in so much pain, I don't know what to do. And if you look at what else is happening around them, if they're acting recklessly or giving away things or moving in ways that you haven't seen before, or in a high level of distress. And one more key factor is if you have an individual that has a history that's ever tried to take their life, they may be more likely when they enter a crisis to take their life. So we always assess that to make sure that we know the history of somebody and we know how to check if they're in distress and then what to do to intervene. That's a little bit about what I did. I now volunteer for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, which is the largest research body in the United States, both for suicide prevention and as well as working with people who are what we call suicide loss survivors, someone who has lost someone to suicide. And we connect them to resources, mostly for free, to make sure they get adequate care and support.
So what have you learned the hard way by going through this? What have you learned about what family and friends could do with somebody in the family that is putting out the little phrases but not really talking about the pain of where they're at? How can you?
Thank you for that question. So
pardon?
What would I recommend is, how can we intercede? or support or help that person. Is that correct?
Is what?
If I heard you correctly, you're asking what would I recommend to people who may be.
Yeah, what would you recommend to a friend or a relative with somebody that is saying some remarks that you've mentioned here? Would you confront? Would you have an intervention like they do with alcoholism?
Oh, that's such an excellent question. And we do teach and do seminars on this, but just to arm anybody who's dealing with somebody who has said a phrase like, I don't want to go on, or I'm in too much pain, or I'm going to kill myself. First and foremost, we always take that seriously. People often say, well, if they're talking about it, they're not going to do it. Actually, the opposite. People who are talking about it are very likely thinking about it, and we have to discern if they're seriously thinking about it. So we recommend that you take the individual aside. Part of my training was working with people who had attempted suicide and were still in danger. So it's an area I have a great deal of expertise. You take an individual like that aside, a friend, a family member, this is first and foremost. We always tell people, you may be the only one that really hears them or recognizes the sign. And so you have to take that seriously. You don't necessarily have to call 911 right away, but you can take that person aside. And when you get them alone, talk to them very succinctly, like, because of the things you're saying or the things you're doing or the distress or the anxiety you're exhibiting, I'm concerned. And then you have to be brave enough to ask the question, are you thinking about killing yourself? It's not hurting, but are you thinking about killing yourself? Or has it gotten so bad that you feel as if you can't go on? And one of the things I used to tell them as a therapist, you can tell me, and we might not have to do anything but talk about it. But if I think, or you think, you can't keep yourself safe, then we're going to need a medical intervention, either with 911, or I can take you to a hospital, or we can get to a hospital. But the way we differentiate is, are you just thinking about it? Because actually thinking about suicide is often just a symptom of a major depression, and it means nothing more than I just feel like I can't go on because I'm tired and exhausted, but I'm not really going to kill myself. So that's the first thing you would say. Are you just thinking about it, or is this something you have been dwelling on? If you've been thinking about it a long time, and you've gotten to the point that you start to think how you would do it, then that indicates your risk level is higher. The last thing you want to know is, aside from the thoughts and the desire and that you figured out how, it's how likely would you be to act on that? So you would ask the intent. Is this something you're thinking about, but it's really not something you're going to do? You know, on a scale of 1 to 5, you're just thinking about it, or is this something you are thinking and afraid you can't keep yourself safe, which is a 5? And then if that were the case, then you would either refer them to the suicide prevention line or take them to a hospital to be assessed. On the suicide prevention line, it would tell you about 90 to 95% of the time, even people that are high risk can be de-escalated. So you can also call the suicide prevention line with them, not tell them to call it, not give them the number, because oftentimes they're ashamed or afraid or embarrassed.
Do you happen to have that number available right now? Somebody might be listening to you, I hope, and we'll take it down.
Yeah, I certainly can. There's several actually local numbers, but I will give you the one that is kind of universal. What happens?
All right, the universal, because this is a multicultural radio show.
No, thank you for that. So the national line, there's something called the National Suicide Prevention Line, which will link you based on where you are to a center near you, or if you're calling out of the country, they'll do their best.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that number is 800-273-8255. It's 800-273-8255, or you could say it's 1-800-273-TALK. Spell out the letters.
So good.
And that,
so what,
that will connect you. Go ahead.
What major lesson have you learned in these years since we were supervisor intern that you wished you'd known before your partner did himself in.
Yes. I wish I had understood that people who are suffering from the thoughts or the desire to die can be helped, that suicide is absolutely preventable. That doesn't make any of you who have lost somebody, should not make you guilty or feel bad because you did not or were not able to save that person, because we can't do that if we don't know. And most of us who have lost someone never got the clues because we were never told. So the major lesson I've learned is to be the one brave enough to say those words. Are you in such distress that you're worried about killing yourself? People are afraid that people will be embarrassed or ashamed or make fun of them or think that's ridiculous. But in fact, that may be the case, but it also may save a life. And then you tell them, which I used to do when I ran groups, is you can talk to me about that. And we can call the suicide prevention line and find out what we can do about it and talk to somebody who's trained to deal with it if you don't feel like you've got enough training. So the major lesson I've learned is we all become responsible for the people around us who don't have the courage because of the stigma or shame to talk about the distress they're in. And we make it a point to talk about it for them. You know, people will often say, hey, let me know if you need anything. Well, we often know those people are saying that to be nice. They don't really want to help us. We have to be the ones that say, I know you may need something. Let me see if I can help you right here, right now, by asking you this question. Are you thinking of killing yourself? Okay. And
all right.
That would be the big lesson.
Are you available by phone or Zoom or whatever at all, or do they have to go through your association?
Yeah, no, they can look for AFSP.org, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and they can find resources in their area, AFSP.org, or they can call me directly if they like. And if they have information or need some more assistance understanding something, they can call me at area code 562-810-1040. That's 562-810-1040. Or it's important to know if you are distressed about someone and you need some more understanding, the Suicide Prevention Lifeline is not only for those people suffering, it is also for those people concerned about somebody suffering. It's free, it's confidential, and you can also call that 800-273-8255, 800-273-8255, or if you just Google suicide hotline, it'll come up for you.
I thank you so much, and I want to know if you have anything that I didn't ask you that you want to say about what you do for these years that I so appreciate, and I'm committed to exposing you and your association, because this is the time we need it.
We certainly do. In the United States alone, we lost 7,000 people.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to say that I haven't asked you?
Well, I'll conclude with this. Suicide prevention began here in Los Angeles in 1960 when two veterans working at the VA hospital looked at some notes. And they looked at fake notes and they looked at real notes. And what they figured out the difference was, because that was the challenge for their research, the real notes indicated the concept of ambivalence. People who were dying by suicide had put in the note, they were trying to live with the pain. They were trying to survive. They did not want to die. So that was the first time we understood suicide was and is preventable. That's what I would conclude with, as well as a thank you for the amazing work you do, Dr. Allen, for the amazing work, how you changed my life, and as a result, have changed thousands of lives through me and through the work you do. It is absolutely the golden truth in terms of how people get through relationships and life, and has been invaluable for me. So thank you for the opportunity to share tonight, to talk about suicide prevention, to keep it front and center, and for all the things you do for other people and for me. I appreciate it.
I so appreciate you, and I'm having you back again because I want you to carry your message and mine so that we can help people in these times of stress. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You have a good show, and I look forward to catching up with you soon. And happy holidays to everybody who's listening, and good mental health. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Always amazing. Always a pleasure to have Robert with us. Robert is just amazing and so articulate.
We're going to have him on once a month so he can carry the message.
I love it. And we've got a caller on the line. Caller, you've got to turn your radio down and then ask your question.
Hello, Dr. Pat. How are you?
I'm fine. I hope you are, too.
I'm doing well. I appreciate that gentleman who was speaking before.
His name is Robert Storr. He's a licensed family child therapist. The director at the suicide hospital in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think I found his site while you guys were talking. So that's really important information. I'm glad you're getting it out there.
Good. What can we do for you, Brian?
Well, I've been working on the Hi Bi letter and doing some writing around some stuff and talked
to. Have you completed anything?
I'm close. I made like a list of like whatever I could think of, sort of brainstorming more of the Hi Bi letter. But when I write it and put it out there,
I want to give the 5-paragraph titles so that somebody might identify that they want to do this. A Hi Bi letter is when, well, I'm just going to do it now, and you can say what part you're still working on. The first paragraph is everything you liked about the person that you're in pain over because either you're leaving or they're leaving, and you want to write an overview letter. That's what you're doing now. And the first paragraph is what got you together, chemistry, magnetism, whatever you want to call it, and what it was about. The second paragraph is the pain of the deterioration or the elimination of the relationship, the pain of it. The third paragraph is what you don't want in a relationship, whether it's straight, gay, or lesbian, doesn't matter. What you don't want, and the next paragraph is what you do want in a relationship, which you're not getting, or is not, it's being taken away, whatever. And the last paragraph is the Hi letter, which says, thank you, this letter, and perhaps responding to it so that we can perhaps work on it, or I will understand why we cannot work on it and accept that that's the reality. So what part of those 5 paragraphs are you having difficulty finishing?
It's more getting the ideas out. First of all, before I even send the Hi Bi letter, I mean, I have some very strong reasons for wanting to break up with her and not get back together. But I haven't heard from her in a week, which is fine. She's actually, you know, respecting me in that way. But I've had some thoughts about, should I call and see if she's changed her mind about things and open it up for a discussion or negotiation. But really, I don't want to get back in the situation I was in, and I don't miss that. So
that's the paragraph that says that's exactly right after, it's the third paragraph. What you like, second paragraph, the pain of it, and the third paragraph, what you don't want, and the fourth paragraph, what you do want, and the fifth paragraph, thank you for reading this, and what are your thoughts and feelings about potentially starting up again, or my not starting up again, because I don't want this problem.
I don't think so. I want to put,
I'm going to ask you something.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 to 5 is I don't want her, and 1 to 10, what's your number of wanting to continue with her? 1 through 10.
I'd say 3 or 4, somewhere in there. Even though we have so much chemistry, it could even be higher than that. But the communication was good, except for the big stuff, and the compatibility is certainly not.
All right. So you have just said you want to see a therapist like myself. I'm a transactional analyst, or somebody that can help you, whether it's a religious figure or a favorite coach or whatever. You want some help in building it, but it's at level 3, which is not positive. That's negative.
Right. And it's probably below 51%, because really, even though the chemistry is so great, there's distance, there's other issues that she has that I think are outweighing them. And when we were in constant communication,
then
sure, that's
please,
hard, but
would you changed. Please make it a bi letter, not a high letter?
Yes. Oh, I'm definitely planning on making it a bi letter. And owning up to one thing, and this is a big Pat Allen thing.
What is
I know
it?
You bring up chemistry, compatibility, and communication all the time.
Yes.
But on the other side of that, isn't there also longevity, exclusivity, and is it consistency?
No, it's the three things are monogamy, continuity. In order to be in a relationship, you've got to have the belief together that you are monogamous sexually. 2, you're compatible enough to get together regularly so people don't starve to death in between. And that you're both wanting to build. You are telling me you are done building. You want to send in a letter of resignation from building.
Yes, that I don't want to take her offer, which is to go back to dating and be open to see other people, but still have the contact like we did before.
No, I have a belief. People with chemistry have to not smell each other for up to 2 years. The chemistry will keep you bonded. Young women bond, and men of 50 plus bond. And bonding is super glue at the short hair site.
Right.
Are bonded, but not your souls. In other words, you fight more than you love, because when you smell people's chemistry, it triggers your body to produce chemistry, oxytocin in specifics. It produces chemistry, which literally glues you together.
Yes, which is why I don't even want to talk to her, even though she's a couple hundred miles away.
I've got news for you. You can talk to her, but if you're talking to her about not being in a relationship, write the letter and then finish that with questions and answers once, but if you go on and debate and debate and debate, all you're doing is dragging out this whole thing. You're having a long-term divorce. Okay?
No, I don't want to do that. I want to write a letter and be done and no communication after that. And we haven't for a week, so then that's good. I'm glad to see
if you've already set it up, then what is the problem with you giving her the whole letter?
Oh, well, I'm still putting together the letter because I have a lot of ideas. I don't want to flood out every idea. I want to shorten it down a little bit and do some other reading
Very
and writing
good.
That I
All right.
do around, so around breakups as well. It's good to talk to you about it. And I already have a therapist and some other people I connect to about it. So
Very good. Okay, then have we done what we need to do today?
I suppose so, yes. But yeah, you said continuity, monogamy. I thought there was another one in that category. With chemistry, compatibility, communication, continuity, monogamy. I thought there was
one more. Monogamy, continuity, and long-term goals. You have to have the same. You have to either want to marry or mate, or you want a friends with perks. Or you want to be a sugar daddy with a gold-digging lady. Or you want to be an older woman cougar with a young tiger sex guy. You got to know what you want and what you don't want.
Yeah, I know that I want to mate. And she initially said she wanted to mate. And when we initially agreed to be in a relationship, but then she changed her tune like a week later. It's weird that in the moment she told me one thing and then later it became something else.
It was a should to start with and it didn't end up a want.
A should and it turned into...
Lots of people want to be straight, but their bodies are built to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I find them in their 50s coming out as authentic gay people.
Uh-huh. Oh, sure.
Are you being what somebody taught you, or are you being what God made you?
That's one reason I'm taking my time doing reading and writing to find out who my authentic self is. And I think going through the I want and don't want makes it very direct and makes it black and white as opposed to shades of gray, which I can get lost in sometimes.
Well, just remember, monogamy, what kind of monogamy do you want? What kind of continuity? How often do you need to see, talk, and be with each other? And are you of similar goals for the relationship? Those are the three things. Monogamy, continuity,
right,
and longevity.
So when I write it out, I may write out a lot of the wants around those six things and say, okay, well, the continuity wasn't quite there. The long-term goals, they were different, even though we had the chemistry. So I think that's going to help me write a good chunk of it.
Okay. Well, when you get done, call us back and read it, and we'll see if you achieved your goal.
Yes, that sounds great. I look forward to doing that and appreciate your time as always.
I appreciate your call.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Likewise.
Okay. I believe Sam at the switchboard is going to get us another caller. And if you want to call in, 323-203-0815 is the number. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, yes. Thank you, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
I was calling because I wanted to give you an update and then also get some insight from you. I've called the show the last month, and I was the person that has the Army boyfriend that is getting out in March that you said is not completely gone. because he continues to reach out over the course of the 8 weeks. If this rings a bell.
Yep. He has reached out or he hasn't. The phone beeped right there.
Oh, okay. Yes. Over the course of the 8 weeks, there'll be stretches of time where he'll contact me consistently.
He's been gone for eight. I mean, are you split up or are you together?
We are split up, ex-boyfriend, not together.
Okay. And he did it or you did it?
He did it. He broke up with me on and off, and he did it again this last, you know, almost a couple months ago.
What is his reason for breaking up with you?
He said that he is, he's scared that it's not going to work out. He's so scared.
Because.
And he said that when he goes on these virtual interviews in January next month, that he needs to decide for himself, like, where he's going to be, what he's going to do, and he needs to be selfish and make that decision on his own.
Okay,
so he might
so
be going back.
He's not into a relationship.
Yes, correct.
He doesn't want one with anybody.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Okay, so he's gone for how long now?
I am in the last inning stretch, Dr. Pat. I've got 9 more days to go till the full completion of my 8 weeks.
Okay, and I want you to know that a disbeliever girl in my class, one of my classes, had the shocking experience of a man reaching out at 7 weeks and like one day. It was like she got the message that it takes people rumination time to make a decision, and the last 2 weeks especially are very tense and very up and down. So you have 1 week and how many days?
I've got 9 days total. December 18th, next
Saturday. 9 days total. So
I don't consider
him gone until then, and he hasn't reached out in any way during these weeks.
He has, actually. He will reach out over like span of 2 weeks and then nothing for 5 days and then a span of 2 weeks and then
do you understand what he does to you? He stimulates your brain, and hopefully in his case he wants it to stimulate your pituitary to produce oxytocin, which will keep you bonded to him. So you do answer his calls.
Yes, I answered all of his texts and his phone calls. And actually, since the last time I called the show, he's asked to meet up 3 times total now. The last two were the last 2 weekends back to back. And I put that boundary down, like you said, and I said, I would be willing to meet you if we were to negotiate an engagement and to get a ring.
You said that to him?
Yes, now a total of 3 times. I told him was this past Saturday, and he says that he thinks about the ring every day, and he's just scared, and he's so scared it's not going to work out.
And that makes him masculine or feminine?
Is it feminine? Of course it's feminine.
He's stimulating you into continuing to answer his messages with no, are you willing to say, I'll meet you in a jewelry store for my engagement ring, but I will not answer your calls. I will not answer your texts. I will not write you letters back. I will be done. Are you willing to do that?
If you think that's the next good step,
no,
Dr. Pat.
I want to know if you want him enough to set the real, you don't, he's not even gone. He's been gone for days. Lots of men go for days, but they don't go for a straight 8 weeks with no contact. They want you to chase them, or they want to be able to keep calling you, texting you, writing you, so that you keep thinking about them. And when you think about them, you lubricate. You produce the chemistry because you're being titillated by him. So I'm asking you now, you can wait the 9 days for him to ask you to meet him in a jewelry store or to wear his ring or to be his girlfriend or whatever it is. But if he doesn't do, I want to meet you and give you an engagement ring, which means we're building something for marriage, hopefully. Are you willing to bottom line him?
Yes, I had my high buy letter ready to go that you approved, and I was going to send that at the end of the 8 weeks.
I know that. Do you want to go through the whole 8 weeks with the high buy letter?
I didn't know if that's a good strategy.
Do you want him enough to do it?
To go the next 8 weeks after?
Yes, you've got to wait 8 weeks for him to respond to the high-bye letter. But it's all part of the process of getting him to meet you and put a ring on your finger, gold band, whatever, that says you are taken. Right now, he's testing you over and over again, and you're showing that you love him and you're not done with him.
Mm-hmm.
So are you wanting to be done with this, or are you willing to go through the 8 weeks, the high-bye letter, the 8 weeks? Because after that, I don't have any more things up my sleeve.
Okay.
Do you love him?
I do. Yes.
All right. Then I advise you, you can go ahead and date people, but not publicly. In other words, meet him at a dance. Don't put it on an app so he sees that you're out and about.
Okay, that was my next question too, was whether if after I give the high-bye letter and the end of the 8 weeks, if I should then, if he says he's not ready, if I should put myself on a dating app now. But
you put the app after he's reacted to the high-bye letter. No, I want you to start dating replacements at the end of this 8 week period, if he doesn't ask you to be his girlfriend.
Okay, so finish after the high-bye letter.
But if he responds with the, I'm scared, I don't want to commit, blah, 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 if he keeps repeating that, the second 8 weeks, you will date other men privately, getting ready for and telling him, I am not going to answer your calls, your letters, your invitations. I'm not going to relate to you at the end of the second 8 weeks.
Okay.
Comfortable? What?
Just to review what you just said, Dr. Pat, so then the second 8 weeks, if he says he's not ready and is scared and everything, then just at the end of that 8 weeks, then tell him that I will not relate to him anymore after that.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay. And then just continue to not initiate any calls, answer everything
Don't answer anything. The second 8 weeks, if he doesn't get you to his girlfriend, either a friendship ring or a little grasp, a gold, band, if he doesn't make a commitment, he is drawing you in and out of the merry-go-round of you're being bonded to him, but you're not building anything with him. So do you want to go through the whole process of making an effort to get him to commit? Or don't you? You may meet somebody else and be done with him. The thing that I see very often is by the time you're into the second 8 weeks, you're not wanting him anymore. Do you want to make an attempt to negotiate, or do you want to make a resolution to replace?
I think I want to make one more attempt. I know this has all been an experiment.
That's the second. That's the second 8 weeks. The first 8 weeks is simply, I want to be in a committed, monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship. That's that 8 weeks, right?
Right.
If he doesn't ask you to be his girlfriend at the end of that 8 weeks, then he gets the hi-bye letter. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which basically says, you know, you have a right to not want a committed relationship because you're afraid, but I do not want any more of this relationship, so I will not respond to your reach outs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And should I, and you're saying I should wait till the end of the 8 weeks, the second 8 weeks, and before.
Well, to be very, very honest, the second 8 weeks, usually you're done with him, or he says in straighter terms, no, or you don't hear from him at all. Or he says, I can't afford, I don't want to lose you. You know, yes, I want to put a promise ring. This kind of a man needs a symbol on his finger that tells him he's in a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship. That's what the ring is. It's not an engagement ring. It's basically a friendship promise ring. That's what you want at the second 8 weeks.
The second 8 weeks. Okay, so don't make it about an engagement ring, but more like a friendship ring.
No, an engagement ring is when you're wanting to get engaged because you want to get married. This is simply to get into a monogamous, continuous, long-term marriage or mating.
Okay, for the second 8 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. The first one is just warning him what you want and what you don't want. The second one is more pragmatic. In other words, he's got to say, yes, I don't want to lose you, and here's your gold band or your birthstone or whatever he puts on your finger. But it's not an engagement ring. It's a promise ring for monogamy, continuity, longevity.
Okay.
We're upping the cost is what we're doing. But as I told you a minute ago, all of these games of I'm afraid will turn you off. Unless you want to be the man.
I don't.
Well, then please be the woman that says, I don't want to be helping you feel secure without a relationship. He wants friends with perks, sex, not making love. Making love is monogamous, continuous, and long-term mated or married. Goal. Got it?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right.
Thank you, caller.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Good luck.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Pat. Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, we got some more calls. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Hi, yes.
Hi.
Dr. Allen,
yes.
Hi. Recently, within the last couple weeks, my boyfriend had said he asked me how long I wanted to be with him.
Wait a minute. I'm not hearing you clearly. What are you saying to me now?
So my boyfriend recently asked me if we can move in together.
You can if you're engaged. You can if you're engaged.
Mm-hmm. But now what's happened is he's acting very strange one night, and he said he was going one place and he ended up going somewhere else.
What is he acting strange like? Wait a minute. What is he doing that's strange?
He said he was going to go one place, and then he ended up doing something else and then lying about it. I caught him lying. And then later on, the next day after we had gotten an argument, he said that it was because he was getting cold feet. And I said, what are you getting cold feet about? And he said that he didn't know if he really wanted to be in a long-term relationship with anybody.
Do you understand that the biggest problem today is women giving men free sex? Friends with perks instead of an erotic commitment. I have no problem with permanent engagement. You're engaged, you live together, and you don't want to get married. I have no problem with that. It's still monogamous, continuous, long-term. You know who pays for those relationships? If they have any kids, the kids don't have very much legal protection.
Right. Well, neither one of us want kids. And we had a big argument last night, and a lot of things came out. I told him actually that I was happy that he told me that and that I had made a mistake not asking to be engaged when we moved in, but he didn't say he had
did you already move in. Did you already move in?
No, he hasn't.
Well, then you haven't made a mistake. You just didn't tell him the details. If you are engaged and he introduces you as his fiance to his mother, his brother, or somebody else, then you're friends with perks again.
Yeah. Well, we've been in a committed relationship for about almost a year and a half. And to me, now that he doesn't want to move in with me, and at the same time, he was asking for us to save up for a house. And I think to myself, well, that doesn't make any sense now, because if you're not willing to move in with somebody, then why would we save up to buy a house, you know?
That's exactly right. So, do you understand that this is the standard problem today?
Mm-hmm.
The lady before you was in the same boat.
I started barely listening right now, but I'll have to listen to that.
Are you willing
to
set boundaries or not?
Yeah, I'm willing to set boundaries. All you say to him is,
we don't have to live together, and you don't have to put a ring on my finger. We can be boyfriend and girlfriend until I don't want it or you don't want it. How long have you dated him now?
A year and like 4 months.
You're 4 months over that 1 month, that 1 year. In 1 year, you know him. You know his games.
Yeah.
And if you put up with it, you can be living this way for the rest of your natural life.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of issues, and
What are the issues?
Communication, well, doesn't know how to communicate correctly.
Wait a minute. Men are in charge of objects, things. Women are in charge of energy. Are you using my tools? Are you paying attention to, I'd love to live with you, except not if I'm not engaged to you. I don't want to be, remember, women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. I don't want to be a live-in girlfriend. I want to be a live-in fiance practicing being a couple in a house or a home, getting ready to marry or mate. Now, mating and marriage, one is legal, one is not. I have nothing against that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
well,
would you please set a standard for him so that he could communicate his yes and his no's?
Well, he won't answer because I asked him yesterday.
Honey, anything that's not a yes is a no.
Well, I asked him, do you want to break up with me, yes or no?
What?
And he said, I don't know how to answer that. I asked him, I said, does this mean that you want to break up? And he goes, I don't know how to answer that.
That's exactly right.
I go, you either answer yes or no. That's what I said, and he still didn't answer.
Do you understand? The only question to ask him is, do you want to be my boyfriend, yes or no? What would he say?
Well, then he said no. I don't know.
If he doesn't want to be your boyfriend, he wants to be your friend with perks.
Well, he didn't necessarily say he didn't want to be my boyfriend. He wants to just keep talking. And I honestly don't think I want to backtrack because I want to be engaged. I want to be a partner.
Then
and
would you please say,
no? Mm-hmm.
Are you having intercourse with him? Are you making love? What are you doing with him sexually?
Yeah, both things, intercourse and making love.
Then would you please tell him, I would love to date you, but I'm done dating you. I've been with you a year and 4 months. I am not going to have intercourse with you, oral, anal, or vaginal, without a ring on my finger. I will date
you. Yeah,
I'm
going to do that.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
All right, then you've got that one. Well, get out there and do it.
Okay, all right.
He can't communicate because you're not using the tools that require the answer, or the answer is implied by the non-answer. Any answer other than yes is no.
Okay. Well, then if he couldn't answer the whole want to break up with me, that means he doesn't want to break up with me? Since
he wants to be his friend with perks.
Well, yeah, but I'm done dating him. Like, that's just what it came up
that's
to when
it,
I even said
you've
that.
Got
like,
to
I don't want
him. You've got to say, I would love to date you, but without sex, unless I am engaged to you, if you want to live with me, or I have a promise ring, a go steady ring on my finger.
Yeah, I don't want a promise ring, and I'm beyond a promise
then
ring.
I want you, yes, you are. You can ask for an engagement ring.
Yeah.
At a year
and
4 months,
I think,
you're really over the line.
Well, one of the reasons I'm going to do that, Dr. Pat, is because I feel like he wants me to make the decision for us, and I don't want to be the one to break up.
Well, I got news for you. I want you to put him on a decision. He can have you as a sexless friend to date, or he can have you as a fiancé and live with you, or he can have you as a fiance that he doesn't live with, but he's got a friendship ring on your finger. There are various ways where he doesn't have to be engaged. He doesn't have to get married, but he's got to give you some honor.
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to do that. Thank you for that.
Good girl. Okay. Good girl. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. Okay, let's get another caller on the line here. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Allen.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Without calls, we wouldn't have a show.
Right. And thank you for all the work you do. You've helped me over the years so much. Thank you for saying so. Right. There are a few guys around at the moment that are expressing interest, and I broke up with a guy in the summer, and then my dog died, and he's calling again. But basically, what I wanted to say is there is a chap who's he's like the guy next door and the girl next door. He's been coming over for about a year, and I didn't realize that he was attracted to me because I was busy with the other guy, you know, having dinner and stuff. We were very casual.
So is he dating you or not?
I'm not sure exactly anymore what that means. He came over, he's always there for me, he's friendly. There's strong chemistry both ways. And his dad just died a few months ago. So he's sort of laying low and staying with his, helping his mother.
Are you having intercourse with him?
Oh, good God, no. He's still on the friendship level. We're still early days, you know. I mean, no.
Okay.
Not
has he asked you to have intercourse?
No, he hasn't. No, I mean, he's a neighbor, and he's been coming over for a year, and off and on as a friend, and now that I'm available, he's coming over more often, and he's been
is
really
he
nice.
Touching you sexually?
No, not yet. I mean,
he's starting to court you, and you sense that he's going to move it towards sexual behavior. Is that true?
Well, it's a potential, definitely feels that way.
You don't have anything to do until he says, I want to sleep with you. I want to make love with you. And then you say, oh, thank you. That's a wonderful idea. Are you willing to be my boyfriend? Monogamously, continuously, and aiming towards marriage one day. Are you willing to say that to him?
Of course. No, there is an issue. There's a but here.
What's your issue?
This is the issue. He was married 14 years, and 9 years ago, his wife presented him with a divorce, leaving two children.
Is he divorced done now?
On paper, yes, except that she's still very much in his life.
Wait a minute. The paper is the only thing that you can divorce. So is he a free man courting you?
I don't know what you mean by courting. Look, he's got a divorce on paper, but his wife still comes over to the house and has dinner.
I got news for you. Many couples keep, when you are engaged to him, you can set a standard. Right now, they're still friends, even though they're not married. Is he having sex with her?
I haven't asked him that, but it definitely doesn't sound like he is. I didn't think so.
So I think that they've gone back to friends. You're way ahead of the game. I want you to socialize with him until he asks you for intercourse, whereupon you say, are you having intercourse with your ex-wife?
he has indicated that they've gone in separate directions for 9 years, and the children are now 15 and 16 and pretty much grown.
Are you believing that he is not having sex with her?
Yes, and he seems like a very decent man. I like him a lot.
But I want you to understand, if they have children, they're going to be in your life for the rest of your life.
Yes, of course.
So are you willing to recognize you've got a second marriage coming up with this man?
I don't understand what you just said.
Do you want to marry a man that's been married before?
You know, if he's not, if I can trust him, if he's honest with me, and the fact is the children are grown.
I got news for you. Wait a minute. When he marries you, you become part of the family.
Yes. Sure.
Are you willing to start that now? As long as he's monogamous, continuously dating you, and working towards marriage with you by putting a promise ring on your finger even before an engagement ring, which is later on because you're just starting to court each other. Are you willing to work with him towards marriage or not?
Yes, marriage or mating.
Mating is marriage without a legal document.
I know, yes.
All right.
Yes.
So I don't mind that, but I want that ring on your finger.
Okay, when? When do you want the ring on the finger?
Before he can put his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina. Before he's made you wanting him to be your boyfriend. Boyfriend.
I'm wanting him to be boyfriend now, but I know he still has feelings for her. And he said if she came back.
I got news for you. He may have feelings for her. She's the mother of his children. Feelings are not negotiable other than with drugs, meds, murder, and suicide. Divorces don't divorce feelings.
No, of course not. Well, I need to understand exactly what you're saying. Are you saying are you saying that he should give me a ring before I say I'm going to be your girlfriend?
You will not be his girlfriend because of the wife hanging around. You want a sign for her to see and everybody to see, especially other men, when they see that he's still dating or relating to his children's mother. The ring gives you stature. She's an ex-wife. You are a fiancé.
Okay, so but he has not asked me out for dinner, and he's coming over to the house. It hasn't gotten that serious. When will I ask for the ring?
When he asks for the sex.
Oh, really? Just say, if you want sex, I need a ring.
Yes. And the reason you need the ring is because he's got a woman that looks like a wife and you act like a wife. That's too many wives. We need somebody to be an ex-wife and somebody to be a fiancé.
Okay. So if he asks for sex, I'll say, thank you very much, but I would require a ring before I can do that.
I need the honor of engagement because your wife is such a close person, and I want to have the stature of a fiancé, not a girlfriend.
Uh-huh. So in other words, I wouldn't be his girlfriend. We're going to skip a phase. If he wants sex,
I have no problem with you dating him without sex. That there's no problem to that. But you don't have sex. You have to be either a girlfriend or a fiance or a wife.
Yes.
So what we're doing is we're asking him to give you the honor of a gold band for your finger, so that other men and her, she knows that you are his fiance, which outranks ex-wife, but it will not outrank mother of his children.
No, of course not.
So expect she's going to be part of your family, which is him and the kids. Do you have any kids with anybody?
No, I do not. And, you know, I have no problem with children. The guy I just gave up on is a four-year-old, a five now. She's five. Yeah, no, not really. I don't have any problem with kids. So, no, I mean, I'd be fine with 100 kids, but...
You said you don't want to marry. Marriage is for women and children.
No, I never said I don't want to marry. I said, you know, that I can't say about marriage with a man I barely know after only a year of being friends. You know, there may be money issues or something. I don't know. That's a technical detail.
Are you willing to not have intercourse with him without the honor of a friendship ring? A promise ring, whichever you want to call it.
100%. Does it have to be gold?
What?
Does it have to be? Yeah, I am. Does it have to be gold?
No, it doesn't have to be gold. It can be a little. It can be a little brass.
Right.
What is the? Like, I'm a Virgo, so I'm a blue sapphire. Those stones. Birthstones.
Yes, exactly.
All
right.
I'm saying is a ring on that left hand ring finger.
Yes, ma'am. That would be very nice, and I deserve it. And
Let's go see if we. You can't ask him for a ring until he asks for sex.
Okay. Do you have any idea why he's really not actually asking out? I can think it's probably because he's grieving. His poor dad has just died, and I was very much fond of his dad.
I want you to understand, you're bringing up subjects. He has a right to love a lot of people, and you have a right to not want to join him. But your best bet is to be part of the family.
Yes. On the topic of family, he did not invite me for Thanksgiving. That's just gone by. And being a close neighbor,
You are not a girlfriend.
Right. Okay. What constitutes
you
a girlfriend?
You are a date. What?
A date. Okay. I see. Well, I told him that it was a little bit hurtful that I wasn't included even as a neighbor. And he said he's sorry he hurt my feelings. He said, I think I'm a bit clueless.
Okay, you told him. What did he say?
He was very nice. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. I guess I have some issues, you know. I wasn't thinking, you
what
know, that
he's
type
doing
of thing.
Is having his family for a holiday. He hasn't gotten to the place of asking you to be a girlfriend, dear.
Yes. Right.
So until he does.
Okay. I was thinking in terms of neighborly because I've been very close to the family ever since I bought the house. You know, I've been over there so many times. I'm pretty close to them. And I was at the funeral and quite devastated by the loss of his dad. You know, so...
I want you to understand. I'm not going to say it one more time.
Yes.
You don't have anything to negotiate as a neighbor and as a friend. You've got to wait for him to ask for more.
Okay. Now, thank you. In the meantime, is it all right to go? I mean, I was in the grocery store a few hours ago, and I got picked up by some guy.
Honey,
you know, he checked.
You have the right to be picked up by anybody you feel safe to be picked up by.
Okay. You know, I don't want to be sitting around thinking about why he isn't calling and that sort of crap. So, excuse the French, sorry. But yeah, I mean, you know, men find me appealing, so I think I'm going to keep going out. I get invited all over town.
You're opening up a whole new can of worms.
Really?
Yes, I want to go on to the next client.
Okay, but I just want to say, is it okay for me to date to see other men.
I want
not
you
really...
dating three men.
Oh, good,
this
good.
This man, but he hasn't asked you yet, and
yep.
two others that asked
two
you.
Two others. I got that down. I've got them lined up. Thank you so much.
Good. Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We've got another call coming in here. Sam at the switchboard is got us one now. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, this is Kathy, one of Dr. Pat Allen's students from many years ago. And I just wanted
to say thank you.
I wanted to say thank you. My husband and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And did I
and
do
I wanted,
anything good that helped you get married?
Everything. I want to remind your listeners that your book, Getting to I Do, is the book that every couple must have on their bookshelf. And I want to thank you. We both want to thank you for all of the information you taught us. And
are you carrying the message? Are you teaching
yes.
it? Are you?
Yes, yes.
Good,
Every
good,
night,
good, good.
Yes, yes. And I'm teaching it in Italy, and I'm using my Italian to do the translation to my Italian friends. And when I'm on cruise ships, I'm telling everybody on cruise ships, and I want to just thank you so much. And I hope your listeners really, really take heart and get that book because
it's an amazing
book.
Got you married.
Got me married. I
That's
know 25
good.
Years. 25 years. It just seems like a long time, and it's been fun, and it's going to be more fun as we keep going.
Thank you so much for calling, and especially advertising my book, Getting to I Do. My new
yes,
book
and I also,
is A Man's World and a Woman's Universe.
Yes,
so,
and then I also have Staying Married and Loving It. So don't forget that one.
What?
I also have your book, Staying Married and Loving It.
Yes, that's a nice book. And Kelly, will you please advertise our classes?
Yes, I will. As a matter of fact, we are doing groups. We do groups Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if you're interested in getting into one of our groups, you can send an email to info@drpatallen.com to get on our waiting list.
Good. So we've done
advertising,
and I love it that Kathy is teaching the work.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you, Kelly, for continuing.
Thank you for calling. For God's sake, you're calling to pledge allegiance to me.
And I will share one thing, may I? I want to share one thing, may I?
I've been asked
over the years, Kathy, what's the one thing you tell couples that, you know, what's the magic potion, so to speak? What's the one thing? And the one thing I do tell them, Dr. Pat, is to negotiate and renegotiate. So that has been huge, a huge part of our relationship. So people wanting to learn how to negotiate through your tools and strategies and skill sets, that is the way to go.
That's
so thank
my
you.
My tools, yes, my tools.
Merry
I'm
Christmas.
A transactional analyst. Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being healthy, and in every single relationship that's based on love, mothers, sons, daughters, fathers, cousins, anywhere love is, communication, I hope, is negotiation, not intimidation, and not seductive guilt and shame. Okay?
Okay, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas,
yes.
Kathy. Happy New Year. Thank you for calling.
Bye. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Kathy, so adorable. Just love her. She's so sweet. Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, yes. Can you? Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's your question?
Oh, sure. I don't know if you have I have two men I'd like to ask about if there's time. So I had, there's one gentleman who I've had four dates with. So after the third date, it took like 3.5 weeks before he reached out. And then he both texted me, and then he also mailed an earring to me that I left at his home and said he couldn't decide whether or not we were going to get together again or not. So I thanked him for the earring. We had a couple of back and forth. He invited me for a fourth date, and then I haven't heard from him since. I had a date with him Friday. So I guess I'm just giving him time, but I it's kind of a turnoff that he doesn't know. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about that one.
I want you to ask me a question.
Well, I think, do I just wait? Like, what does it mean if he says he doesn't know? And then
what it means is he's a girl in a boy's body and he wants a mommy to take care of him.
Ah, yes. That makes sense. I believe that.
So what you say to him is, thank you for respecting me and putting me in charge of us, where we eat, where we go, what we do. But I want to be cherished and I want to respect you as my man. What do you want? Women get what they want when they know what they don't want. Men avoid losing what they don't want to lose by knowing what they do want. So never ask, if you want to be cherished, ask him only what he thinks, what he wants, and what you can do to help you and he do it. That's the job of a respecting woman. Do you want to be respected first? What?
No, I don't want to be respected. I want to be cherished. So how do I?
You want to be cherished? Well, then don't.
Yes, I do.
Don't ask him what he feels. Ask him always what he thinks, what he wants, his opinion, and what you can do to help you and he do it. Keep him in charge.
Okay.
All right.
And do I just, I think I just wait to hear from him, right?
What?
I have to wait to hear from him. He hasn't reached out. We had a date last
Friday. If you want to be the woman, you have to be receptive, available to receive and respect him. You've got to be passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Your
so
job.
I just wait. Uh-huh.
What?
I just need to wait to hear from him.
Passive, patient, and vulnerable is you don't chase him. If you want to be masculine, I have no problem with you being masculine. If you want to be the man and run the show, then please feel free to run the show, but then you have to ask him what he feels. If you're the man,
I don't want that.
He's getting to be the woman.
I want to be the woman, so I think my next step, I just need to wait to see if he calls me because I haven't heard from him in a week.
Well, he's got 8 weeks before you know he's gone.
Right.
He's ruminating. He's deciding if you're going to mother him or not. He's going to torture you by pulling away from you so that you get lonely enough to call him. So don't call him until he calls you. Then answer the phone. Okay.
And then I have one other gentleman.
What?
This one I've had three dates with over like the course of a year. I think he's kind of aggressive and really wants sex. I don't know that he wants a relationship. So on the second date, pretty aggressive.
He wants sex, not the relationship?
I think. So I just feel like things got started a little too quickly. So on the second date, he was making a very serious move. And I just remembered your training and said, you know, I don't do that unless I, you know, I'm in a committed relationship. And,
That's great.
I gave the three criteria. But it kind of freaked him out. So, you know, I didn't know him that well yet. It was just the second date.
Honey, I want you to know he's used to women that want to mother men with sex. Men don't marry sex. they marry virtue in a woman.
Yeah.
A man knows if he can't get his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina, the other guy can't either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I teach virtue through science.
Okay. I've been virtuous with him, but he said, like, you know, where he's said he doesn't think we're fit, trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. And that
I've got news for you.
Uh-huh.
I want you to know that men are very, very sexually sex-oriented. Women are wanting to make love.
Yes.
The relationship. Yes. Well, when you give a man sex and he picks your cherry, he very soon wants new cherries, so he gets other women.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, I didn't.
What?
Yeah, he didn't get mine. So after the third date, he said that, you know, I'm beautiful inside and out, but he thinks we have different philosophies, and but he's not my man. And then I said, I asked if he could, you know, share more, and he said he wasn't comfortable. So
please feel free to have him read Getting to I Do.
Yeah, but I don't know that I could, because I don't know if he, that seems hard to get him to do that.
The point is, tell him what it costs to put his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina. That's what you tell him.
I did, and I don't think he wants to pay.
Well, if he doesn't want to pay, then just date without intercourse. Hug him and kiss him, but don't have intercourse. That gives him free sex, but he will want more from different people.
He will. I don't think he'd want that. Like, I think he wants more. I don't know if he would go along with that.
Then would you? Well, if he doesn't go along with that, then he wants to just have sex with women, and you have to decide whether you want to be virtuous or you don't.
Yeah, I want to be virtuous. It's very clear to me. Like, I have no doubt.
All right, then practice being virtuous.
Okay, I am. I am doing that with him. So I did.
Good. Excellent.
So I last saw him over Labor Day, and then I sent him a little note on Sunday. I just said, hi, how are you? And there was a couple of, you know, back and forth, but I'm not, you know, he's not pursuing. So do I just let it go, or, like, can I wish
Honey,
him a happy new year?
Please don't mother him and chase him unless you want to be the man.
I don't want that. So I just
Then would
I just
you
let
please
go.
Flirt, look him in the eyes and smile and see if they talk. And if they ask you for coffee, whatever, if it's getting acquainted, it's courtship.
Right. But no, we don't see each other. Like, I wouldn't be able to look him in his eyes. Like, I sent him a text, but
you can't look in his eyes? Why can't you look in his eyes?
Because I'm not with him.
Oh, I see. Well, have you ever met him?
Yes, we had 3 dates.
Well, are you chemically attracted to him?
Yeah, we both are. He said,
okay.
You know, he had a magical time with me. He had a magical time, but he thinks
I know.
We have different
Has
philosophies.
Has he made
yeah.
sexual moves?
Oh, for sure. He's very sexual.
Okay. And you've told him how you will be his girlfriend, then you can make love.
Well, I told him, like, the requirements I need to be in a committed relationship.
As a committed
With
relationship.
Continuity.
But he says no yet. He hasn't said yes.
Right.
Well, I've got news for you. Don't give him intercourse until he says yes.
I agree with that. So I think nothing's going to happen because he doesn't want to do that. Like, is there any way of, like, staying in touch that is not chasing him?
That what is not chasing him?
Is there any way to stay in touch that isn't chasing?
Are you chasing? No. If you're calling him, you're chasing him.
Yeah, I just said, I sent a text and said, hi, how are you?
I got news for you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That means you just slowed him down because he knows you're going to call him, so he won't call you.
Okay.
Is that what you want?
I don't want that.
Well, then why don't you give him 8 weeks from now to call you because he misses you? And okay. if he doesn't miss you, replace him.
Okay. So don't reach out at the end of 8 weeks. Just keep going forward.
That's right.
Okay. And I don't wish him a happy new year or a Merry Christmas.
Honey, have you ever listened to me talk about ritual strokes, Christmas cards, birthday cards, Thanksgiving cards, funny ones, whatever ones? I have no problem with ritual cards or emails or texts for holidays, birthdays, celebrations. So there, I just gave you something to do.
Right. Now, he's very, I just had this thing where I said hi. Like, I feel like, is it going to be chasing if I wish him a Merry Christmas in a couple of weeks? Should I just wait 8 weeks?
Honey,
or, you know, just not?
I want you to not call him because talking is too intimate. I want you to send an email, a text, a card. But don't get into talking because it's going to seduce both of you into getting together. And he didn't ask for a date. Would but you please it, let him court you?
Quote me? Oh,
why won't
you
let him be a man?
Oh, I want him to be a man. I just don't think he's going to. I think he just wants sex and doesn't want more.
I got news for you. That's what men do when they start to date women. They try to get them to give free sex. And the women that don't give free sex have to sometimes put up with 8 weeks of no contact while he thinks about your value. And many times he misses you enough to call you.
Okay, and if he doesn't?
If he doesn't, in the end of 8 weeks, give him a hi-bye letter, which says, I miss you, why, whatever. But that's after you haven't heard from him for 8 weeks.
Okay, so I did that about a year ago. I gave him a hi-bye letter, and then he responded, and then it took a while. We had a date over Labor Day, and then he said he didn't think our lifestyles were a fit. Now, even though it was a magical time, he didn't think our lifestyles were, there was too much of a difference. And I wasn't his guy, or he wasn't my guy.
He wasn't your guy because he didn't want to negotiate a commitment.
Right, exactly. So what do I
do? Do you date enough men till one wants you?
Okay, so I keep dating other men and I forget about this one.
No, you don't have to forget about him. Just make him number 3 or 4 in your list.
So how
can
I do it?
Find replacements for him. What?
Because what he said, let me read what he said.
Honey,
he said that,
I've got news for you. If he doesn't want to be in a committed relationship, he has a right to not do it. So replace him.
Right. So don't continue him as one of my guys. Just replace him.
I have no commitment. I said, if he's number 3 out of your list, so have him for number 3. He's just not number one.
Okay, so this is what he texted me after our third date, which is over Labor Day. He said, even though we had a magical night together, it also gave us a better understanding of each other's desired lifestyles and philosophies. From my perspective, there's too much of a difference on both counts. You're beautiful inside and out, but I'm not your guy. I wish you the best.
What he said was, I'm not your guy. I wish you the best. That's an invitation to go away. So why don't you go away?
Okay, go away. So I don't, I replace him. I don't ever come back to that one.
You replace him. You don't go try to sell him. That is basically mothering him.
Okay.
Did I answer?
Yeah, and how do I, because I did reach out and said hi to him this week. I don't know. How do I recover from that?
You don't recover from it. You replace him so you have someone new. Why do you stay with somebody that doesn't want you?
Yeah.
He gave you a very straight letter. Very straight.
Mm-hmm.
So honor it.
Okay.
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 Good girl.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Truly. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. I believe we've got more calls, so let's see what we've got going on here. Sam at the switchboard has been amazing, getting us calls so quick tonight. It's been hopping. I'm loving it.
Who's at the board? Is Sam at the board?
Yeah, Sammy's at the board tonight. He has just been rocking
you,
us
Sam.
Hard.
Thank you, Sam.
Okay, here we go. Caller, you are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
My ex and I broke up.
How did you break up?
He is 50 and I'm 34.
So you're on estrogen, but so is he.
Yeah.
Men, when their testosterone goes down, are very much impacted by their feelings when the estrogen in their nervous system triggers them to need cherishing, not respect.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
what happened? He terminated or you terminated?
It was kind of a mutual. It was really hard. He didn't see himself wanting kids, and I do.
Why would he want kids at 50?
Yeah, exactly. And I do. So it just wasn't a fit. When we were dating, he would go back and forth. Sometimes he would want them, sometimes he wouldn't.
I want you to understand, from 50 to 60, men, one day they're feminine needing cherishing, and one day they're masculine needing respect. And the same thing happens to women in their perimenopausal. Men have andropause, women have menopause. When her estrogen goes down in production, the testosterone and the male hormones in her body start to want her to be a cougar, to go chase some nice young men and get laid.
Right. So it was really tough. And anyway, we haven't had contact in.
He hasn't reached out to you?
No, and it's definitely been past the 8 weeks. It's been about probably 5 months. But he reached out over Thanksgiving and wished me.
Oh, that's good. Did you respond?
Yeah, I responded right away. He just said, "Happy Thanksgiving. Like, hope you're doing
well."
And he said,
"Oh, thanks for wishing me happy Thanksgiving."
Yeah, I hearted it and I said, "Thank you so much. Good to hear from you. Happy Thanksgiving to you too."
Perfect. Did he reach out for a date?
No, he hasn't reached back out yet. He's a very slow mover.
So Thanksgiving is only a week or two.
Right.
He's got 8 weeks from that call before I say he's gone.
What's the reason for them reaching back out?
They miss you. See, when men get free sex, they miss the love of a committed relationship. Free mm-hmm. sex is like ice cubes, whereas making love is like fudge.
Yeah.
You see? There's a wonderful book I'm reading right now that talks about the body has a mind that it talks. 90% of all illness has a mental foundation to it. Your body communicates like a brain, and your brain communicates. And there's a book by a man named Antonio Damasio, and it's called feeling, which is feelings, and knowing. It's called feelings because the body feels what it knows. In other words, we have neurotransmitters, and three major ones are dopamine, happy, happy, up, 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 norepinephrine, down, 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 and serotonin, peace, peace, peace. It's the body, if you sleep, producing antidepressants and producing chemistry that calms you and lets you sleep. So this book is about making minds conscious. The body feels what it knows instinctively. The brain thinks with words what it knows and acts intellectually.
Okay, I'll check that book out.
It's, and he's got other books written too that he's done, but this particular book is about knowing that women have to feel good to do good, and men want to do good to feel good. A man can be 50 pounds overweight, but a millionaire, and he feels fine. A woman can be 5 pounds overweight and she's feeling suicidal.
Yeah, so true.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this book is about feeling and thinking in the same brain. The right lobe in the brain is designed to think with words, with semantics. The left lobe wants to be thinking with words. The right lobe thinks with feelings, pain and pleasure, and that impacts the decisions. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not a complicated book to read either.
Okay, that's good to know. So he's missing, because when we broke up, I heard you actually a couple weeks ago with another caller, and I really resonated with it. It's almost like I was picking fights with him because I felt so, I wouldn't say unsafe is the wrong word, but I knew that it wasn't leading towards marriage and kids. And it was just,
how did you know that? Did he ask for sex and you said, I can have sex, but I can't make love or any babies?
It started out, when we started dating, it was him. He said that he would be open to have kids and talk about kids in a marriage. But then as the relationship went on.
How long did you date him?
We dated for about a year. A year. 1 year.
Oh, 1 year.
Oh, God, no, not 8 years. We were friends. We worked in the same office building. We worked in the same building together. So we became friends for a couple of years before we started dating. So he said that he would be open to having kids, but then as we kept dating, he started to not be sure, and it would make me really uneasy.
What he started thinking about is what it would take to have kids.
Yeah, and he would just say, I don't know if I can afford it and all of this stuff. And so it would make me really uneasy, and then I would start to pick fights with him. And so but at the very end, when he broke up, he said that he wasn't sure
but
if it was the
right. But you admitted that you treated him disrespectfully. That turns him off. Men have got to be respected to turn on to cherish you, ladies. And men that allow you to disrespect them are little boys.
Right. Yeah.
And the book on that is The War Against Boys by a lady, Summers is her name. And it's about powerful women being masculine and treating boys like they should be females and really, really doing what mommy says, when the truth of the matter is, mommy's got to respect her son enough by the age of 10 so that he knows he can negotiate and not simply be a mama's boy.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
This
yeah,
is very
and,
serious.
Oh,
by the way, girls need to have a father that is cherishing by the time they're 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. So because he reached out, he's definitely still thinking about me or missing me, and now I just need to wait.
Wait, I didn't. The phone jiggled. It made dropped a sound.
So because he reached out over Thanksgiving, it means that he's still thinking about me.
Totally,
or missing
me. And I want you to send him a Christmas card or a birthday card or a Hanukkah card. Anyway, I want you to use ritual strokes, texts, faxes, whatever's.
Okay.
So he keeps remembering your name.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Allen.
But don't chase him.
Mm-mm. And okay? If I don't reach out for Thanksgiving and wait for him to reach out to me, like, I guess
well,
if I wait.
Then you didn't see. The ritual stroking is my tool to
right.
give to women that doesn't ask for dates. It just
mm-hmm.
is celebrating holidays.
Mm-hmm.
The men can't, hey, she's chasing me. No, you aren't.
Right.
Happy Thanksgiving is not exactly a date.
Right.
These are
okay.
manipulations. I teach manipulations so that we can meld together.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Have a good night.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye.
You have a quick call?
No, I do not think we have time for one. Sam is saying.
Okay,
we've
got next week.
We do have next week. And I want to remind everybody, you can go to www.drpatallen.com and you can listen to Chemistry and Compatibility. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and you'll get to see that or hear that. And find our products at oneistore.com. That's where you're going to find Dr. Allen's brand new book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, and other wonderful things, Dating Over 50 DVD set, which is remarkable. Dr. Allen does offer special appointments for Life Script and for critiquing your high by letter. And don't forget to get on our list for our groups. Reach out to info@drpatallen.com for all of those things. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go?
Well, I want to say my favorite. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Exactly. We'll be back next week, everybody. Until then, take care and we love you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.